We're going to read out of the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We'll probably start around the 13th verse tonight. I just continually am amazed how God will send something that will grow you, something that will improve you. For that, I glorify God. Because there's been plenty of things that I've heard, that I've read, that are not God's Word, that have led me astray. But everything in God's Word proves to be true in my life. So we'll read in verse 13 of the 5th chapter of Matthew. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." If you read back before that in verse 12, as it reads about, "You are the salt of the earth, but the salt have lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? Therefore it is thenceforth good for nothing." But when you read in verse 12, it says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And I begin to think about all the times that I could be rejoicing. And how that I've let my salt lose its savor. As my walk with God gets straight away one way or another, some little small thing comes and plucks out my joy or my peace or just my general focus on where God is trying to get me to go. And I know where I'm going. You see, I see the end of it all. But when I lose my savor, when I lose my drive, when I lose that part of me that wants to rejoice, the part of me that wants to praise God, I can have the ability to praise Him. Now listen, I know I'm talking to a lot of talented, anointed people with a knowledge and ability to get out here and do and pray and read and study and sing and exalt and do everything that God has called us to do. I'm looking at people that's more than able to do that. And I'm so excited about what God is fixing to pour out in your life. I'm not here to preach to you tonight. I'm here to deliver a word unto you tonight. I want to remind us about our Savior. I want to remind us about that which we carry in our heart. I want to remind us about the desire that's inside of us for God. Not our head knowledge of God. Not our ability to be able to lift our hands and worship God. But that part of us that's inside that keeps the wheels turning. That part of us that gets us up in the middle of the night and says, "God, I still thank you for being able to go through a trial." Listen, I know that sometimes it's hard, to have salt upon a wound because it burns and it's hard for it to be treated. But there were many people in those days that could have had anything in the world and they could have threw it on wounds and it wouldn't have treated what they were going through. But it was only the salt that would have treated a wound in that time. It was all that they had then. So when you think about salt tonight, think about it as something that is a cure for something that you cannot get rid of on your own. Think of it as something that is there for you as a reference, as a savior, as something that's going to bring you out. Tonight I want you to think about your salt as Jesus Christ. I want you to think about when we lose the savor, we lose that part of us that keeps us driven to keep going another mile, that keeps us coming inside the doors week after week. We'll be here 3 weeks out of the four. We'll miss that fourth one because our Savior isn't where it should be. God wants us in here with a desire so we're able to make it through everything that He's trying to get us to go through. My faith has been growing, not because of the songs that I'm hearing, not because of all the word that I've been hearing, but the Savior that's in my heart, that desire in my heart is growing. I realize just how great that He is. Just by taking Him at His word, just by being faithful. Amen. Tonight, that was a whole lot of words, but tonight I want you to get a hold of that part of you. Where is your savor for your walk with God? I speak unto that tonight and I say, rekindle the desire of your walk with God. Do not let your life
just be easily led away by any old thing. Cherish the part of God that lives inside of you. For it is precious. It is something that is more worth than gold, more worth than your bank account, more worth than these cars and these houses and these objects in this world. You can be in the green or in the red, but if you have God, you're going to make it. You might not have food and you're covered, but if you have God, you're going to make it. Your friends might turn their back, but if you have God, you're going to make it. Your church might say pity on you, but if you have God, you're going to make it. I tell you, if you have a Savior in your heart, you're going to have a desire to stand up and say, hey, I believe God when nobody else is going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to stand in the hard days. Lost our Savior, lost our praise, lost our ability to be bold, lost our ability to be proud. Have our ability to do everything else. But remind yourself, what is it that I stir in my heart? That part that lives in me has nothing to do with the preacher. The only part the preacher had to play maybe in your life was to try to compel you to pay attention, to tune in to the Spirit of God that was speaking to you. At that point, when you begin to hear God's voice and to know what it was, it became a relationship with you. And at that point, it's not me that would rekindle the desire in your heart. It's not me that makes it precious to you. I said this the other day, and I'm going to say it to each and every one of you tonight. You know what my favorite part of the Spirit of God is? It's not that it gets me excited and dancing. It's not the part that makes me shout on the mountain and be able to have strength in the valley. It's not the part that gives me the ability to sing and play instruments. It's not the part that opens up the page and shows me what to preach. It's not the part that if I was standing and praying with somebody to give me the words to pray into them. It's not the part that helps me be in fellowship with one another. But it's the fact that when Jesus Christ comes into my life, that it's so precious that no man or woman, no matter how they try, Jamie, could take away what Jesus has given me. How precious it is to me. The banker might come by and say, we're taking all your money today, Jared. And that's all right. They still can't have my soul. They might come and say, doctor might come and say, Jared, you only have a couple months to live, but that's all right because they cannot touch your soul. I don't think we're getting a hold of that like we should be tonight where we get too focused on everything else. The salt and savor is now in this world. By the desire of God that you have in your life, you are the light of the world. You are a city. You are a refuge. By being a city, you are a population of something that what that lives inside of you. A city is something that has resources. Somebody preach with me tonight. You have the vast abundance of something. You're able to give water to those that are thirsty. You're able to feed those that are hungry. If they're sick, you've got a hospital. When they are in need, when their body is weak, you're able to give them what they need. You're a city on a hill. By the power of God that's inside of you, you rekindle the power of God. You are able to lead. You are a refuge to those that are in trouble. They will come to you. Hallelujah. City on a hill is above. Above what? It's a lot of things to be advantage of when you're on a hill. Yeah. You have a better view. Yeah.
Come on.
I have the perspective to know that no matter how low I go in my life, I always have refuge with Jesus Christ. And if I just learn to get down, oh, and just climb up into His presence, into His arms, He's always there for me. Every time I open my mouth and say, Jesus, I call unto You this day. Each and every time I open my mouth, whether it be in a whisper, whether I write it down, whether I shout it out, whether it's just on my mind, He's right there. So don't tell me that God is not able to hear your prayers. If you are sincere in your heart, if you have a savor inside of your life, it's not just going to be, Lord, help me. There's got to be something in your heart that means business. If you were going hungry and you were starving to death, I know you would mean what you said if you went to somebody and said, I need some food, I'm hungry. If we have people that are lost and in trouble, we better have what they need when they need it. You get all these ads on TV. There's so many of them, you can't even watch a show anymore. Commercials just make me sick. So much garbage. 30 seconds of instant temptation. Instant steer you away from God. I'm tempted to shut down my cable service. Tell me one channel I can watch that doesn't have filth on it, and I'll give it a shot. And I can't find one. They're trying every way in the world to grab your attention so quickly. Trying to sparkle something in front of you. They'll say, oh, if you call in right now, we'll cut the shipping in half. We'll cut one of the payments off so you only have to pay $19.95. Oh, when? Yeah, like none of us have never fell for that before. I bet if we went into each other's house, we'd see a few of those $19.95s. They do everything in the world to try to appeal to that part of us that will give in to that. And yet all the things of God are so much more. But when we lose our savor, we lose our desire and our ability to even notice the worth of that. I lose the value of healing when I don't trust God. I lose the value of His word when I cast it out when I hear it. Come on now. When I'm in trouble and I don't hear His word, I can't get out of it if I don't heed to it and apply it in my life. But listen, they're trying every way in the world to advertise and get to people and trying to get their attention and say, here, get this new gadget. It has everything that you need. And they're lining up 3 days before to get this thing and pay three times the amount of money they can even afford in a month. And we don't even have enough savor. Come on, church. We don't have enough savor to sincerely say to one another that God is here for you. As a church, your focal selling point is that you're a city on a hill. The Word of God commands that we rejoice and not just be glad, but be exceeding glad. Beyond the boundaries of what is normal, exceeding. Beyond the boundaries of just a smile for me. Beyond what is normal for me, to be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. In other words, Jared, look beyond what you're dealing with now. Be able to rejoice beyond what you see here. And be exceeding glad. For great is your reward beyond your sorrows. Great is your reward beyond your troubles right now. It's only for a little while, guys. Only for a season, guys. You may be going through famine. You might be going through sickness. But it's only for a little while. We need to learn to be exceeding glad for a season in our lives. If we learn to do that, we're able to be a witness for God and draw others by how we live.
Amen.
I saw an advertisement for a devotional DVD, a Christian devotional DVD the other day, and I looked at Angela and I said, seriously? They really had to try that hard? It shouldn't be that hard. And I have people all the time, when we try to pray for them and lead them to Christ, And you give them the best sincere word that you can. You just give your heart to God and begin to pray. And they say, well, I did that and nothing happened. Nothing changed. And I begin to think, well, things would begin to change if your heart was sincere. I have people tell me all the time, well, I believe God for this move and I didn't see it come to pass, so I don't believe God's able to do that.
Come on.
Now, when we're sincere before God, that shows a sign of humbleness.
Come on.
Come on, church. Don't leave me hanging. We did good thus far. When we are sincere, when we come before God, it shows that we're willing to lay down everything, say everything. We can't leave anything with us. We can't have any baggage that we're taking back out the door. We can't have just a little bit of laying cares down. He said, cast all your cares, for he careth for you. He said to ask for your forgiveness and believe. Ask for your forgiveness of what? Those things that he died on the cross for. And it doesn't take me very long to list out all the things that I know that he died for me then when I asked to be saved. But even today, I can write down things each day that I have to pray to God for. Each day. But let me tell you something. My list, as I strive, is getting smaller. Because I'm begging God to help me be a city on a hill. And not be some rundown building in the valley.
Come on!
Help me to be a city on a hill. Help me to be somebody that stands up in this last day and is able to be a witness of God. Help me to lead others up to that hill and remind them that they have the almighty, hallelujah, the almighty power of God inside of them, that they have something that makes them want to run through a troop and jump over a wall, that as it wasn't just for a few set people, but that anointing was for each and every one that would be willing to step up to the plate and say, God, I want it. God, I want your power. Lord, I want to step up into a deeper anointing. God, I want to live as you would want to lead me. But then we feel like we're so far away from that mark. Feel like we can't hit it, can't make it, and waiting and waiting and waiting, and think that if we just wait long enough that someday's going to come, that we're just going to get there eventually. But let me tell you all something. Today is the day of salvation. In other words, today is the day of your redemption from the things that would try to hinder and destroy your life. Not only to save you, today is the day to make things right. Today is the day to recognize the present darkness that would try to corrupt your mind. You see, our minds try to place us back there so far away from God. But you see, God's right here. Come on now. I need a witness tonight. God's right here with you, ready to save your life. And I'm closing right now. God is right here. And all we have to do is just step out and believe. It's not any great big commotion or process. And I'm glad that it wasn't, or I would have failed it. I failed many of tests in school. I failed many of prerequisites that people gave me. People give me directions to drive somewhere and I didn't make it. I had to call them and say I didn't make it. I got lost. Tell me where to go. There's been plenty of times in our life where we thought we were going to get somewhere and do something. We didn't get there. We failed. But God is here to help you tonight. And I remind you about your desire and that savor, that salt in your life, that part of you that's going to reproof that part of you to remind you, hey, I've got to change it up sometimes. I can't let my walk with God get boring. I've got to let that salt do its work. Hallelujah. Come on now. I've got to let it change and reproof and rebuke and help me get my mind in order. Help me be in a state of sanctification. Help me come into a state of peace. It's my honest belief that in my own personal practice that unless I'm sanctified, I never find peace. You might find a faked version of peace. You might find a comfy blanket for a few seconds, where you deceive yourself, but until you're sanctified in your mind, you'll never find peace. As they sing, if you don't mind, stand with us tonight. I want to give everybody an opportunity to step out if they want to pray. As we pray and meditate upon God, if you are in need to come and pray tonight, I'm not tarrying tonight. I want us to have a chance. If you need to come and call out on God, to rekindle the desire in your heart, say, Lord, I want to be a city on a hill. God, I want to be that person. I want to be saved, God. I want to be delivered, God. I want to be changed, Lord. He's here to do that for you tonight.
To